The Bible reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 16, and you can find it on page 1215 in the Bibles. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of a rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance.
Thanks. Hey guys, how are we doing? Good, good. Alison is going to pray for us as we get into God's word.
Dear Jesus, thank you that we can come to here at church to worship you, hear your word, and pray to you in freedom. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide Pat to speak boldly the word of God to us tonight. Whatever we learn from you tonight about praying, help us to put into action in our lives forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, welcome to 5pm Church, the second week of our vision series. I'm really excited to be here as we unpack the second line of the vision, which says we see a church that is so awestruck by him that we prayerfully seek his mind on everything. I'm excited because I genuinely think that God can shake up our prayer lives tonight, that he can make a difference to the way that we pray and the way that we seek him. I'm genuinely excited because I want God to make a change to our whole lives tonight. Are you guys up for that? Yeah. Awesome. Well, Shane has prayed and Karen's prayed and Allison's prayed. I'm going to jump in on that and I'm going to pray for us as well. So if you'd all join me, that would be awesome. Lord, you are such a great God. Help us tonight to see you for who you are. Lord, show us your glory, reveal your greatness to us, and help us to respond by becoming a people even more devoted to prayer. Help us to respond to your glory with praise, and help us to give our lives completely over to you. Help us to be so awestruck by you that we seek your mind on everything. Amen. Have you guys ever noticed that or thought back on the fact that when you were younger, you were really dumb? I don't know if that's just me. I've been thinking about myself as a kid. I was really, really dumb. Parent, anything an adult says to you, when you're a little kid, you believe them. And you're like, that is the absolute truth. I remember my parents saying heaps of these things, like, if you watch too much TV, you'll get square eyes. Unfortunately, that didn't work for me because I was like, I could be the only guy with square eyes. That would be awesome. So I tried to watch as much TV as possible. I remember if you go swimming straight after you eat, then you're going to sink. That translated, I think, was just sit down and shut up. I just want to enjoy my meal for a little bit longer. If you swallow chewing gum, it'll stay in your body for 7 years. That's just, could have just said spit it out, son. Like, that would have worked. If the wind changes, your face will stay like that forever. See, again, that had the wrong effect on me. On windy days, I'd walk around trying to make sexy faces. Like, just trying to hope the wind had changed. It didn't work, as you can tell. Then there's other ridiculous ones, like you have to wash your hands after going to the toilet, or no one shake Josh Mann's hand after the service. Or like, veggies are good for you. My wife tries to convince me of that one still, but I just don't believe it. It's one of those things you're told as a kid that's a lie. The biggest one that stuck out to me this week, though, I was thinking back, and every single year when our primary school had their fete on, their fair, whatever you want to call it, that would be the weekend that we'd go down the snow as a family. And I remember we'd arrive at the fete and we'd get given a little bit of money from our parents and we'd run around and get as much junk food and fun in as possible, and we'd load up and get our little bag of junk food to jump in the car for 5 hours and drive down. I've got an older brother and an older sister. Eric's talked a fair bit about the struggles of being a middle child. Being the youngest, our struggles are real. I had to sit in the middle every time, 5 hours. It's not easy. So I remember sitting there in the middle, and I noticed while I was at the fete, I noticed that my mum spoke to so many people. So I was like, Mum, how do you know all these people? Betty, how many people do you know? And my mum was just like, Pat, I know everyone. Everyone. I was blown away. It's like, whoa, my mum knows everyone. That's got to be like 100 people. That is insane. And what do you do when you're like, when you're amazed with someone? You just question them and question them and question them. So I'd be like, Mum, who's that? And my mum would be like, oh, that's Jane. Mum, who's that? Oh, that's Morton. Oh, hi, Morton. How you going? Mum, who's that? That's Bort. Who's Bort? Morton's brother. Awesome. That's good, Mum. And she'd just go on and on. And we're on a 5-hour drive. Every single car, I'm like, Mum, who's that? Oh, that's this person. Oh, thanks, Mum. Who's that? And she kept going. And I'm sitting there thinking, my mum is amazing. And she's sitting there thinking, my son is an idiot. I had absolutely no idea. But I was genuinely awestruck. And my response was to just question her as much as I could. I was like, she knows all this stuff. I'm going to try to get as much out as possible. I want to get to know all these people. I want to be like my mum. I want to know everyone. And so I just dug everything I could out of her mind until she got tired of it and then just told me that she was joking. But that's what we do, isn't it? When someone knows more than us, when someone's better than us at something, we seek their mind. If you've got problems with your car, you seek a mechanic and you try to get all the information out of them. If you've got problems with your health, you go see a doctor and you try to get everything out of their mind to help you. If you want to know how to ruin a game of soccer, you go to the ref from last night's derby. We go to people who are experts, who are good at these sorts of things, and we seek their mind. I remember as a kid going to the skate park a lot, and there was this one guy who was like a sponsored skater and he was amazing. And kids would just follow him everywhere and ask him questions constantly. Why? Because they thought he was amazing. They were in awe of him. They were awestruck by him. So they wanted to seek his mind on everything. In the same way, I was awestruck by my mum, so I wanted to seek her mind on everything. But does that translate to how we respond to Jesus? Are we so awestruck by Jesus that we seek his mind on everything? Like an innocent kid begging for more information. Are we blown away by who Jesus is, by what Jesus has done, to the point that we seek his mind on absolutely everything? See, it all starts our prayer life starts with getting to know Jesus and getting to know who Jesus is and how vast Jesus' glory is. And it starts in John 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning." That sounds really pretty, but as you start to unpack it, you get the idea that it's referring to Jesus here as the Word. And you go, okay, the Word was in the beginning. What does that mean? Well, that means before time, before anything was created, before anything existed, before the laws of physics, before space, time, and matter, before any of that, there was our God, perfect, complete. Before anything existed, before the dust of this earth, before anyone had breathed a breath or a heart had beat, there was our God. Perfect and complete. The passage goes on to say, through him, still talking about Jesus, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So not only is there Jesus in the beginning, is there God in the beginning before all other things, but as we think about Jesus, we need to think this guy is the creator of everything, absolutely everything. And we can think small on a molecular level and think about all the tiny little things that go into making up an atom. And we can think, wow, Jesus created every one of them. Or we can think vast and big, and we can think every galaxy, every sun, every planet. That's all from the power of the Word. That's all from the power of Jesus. By the power of the Word, time started ticking. By the power of the Word, space started expanding. Planets were flung into perfect orbits. People were created. Every baby that grasps their father's thumb, every heart that skips a beat when loving eyes meet for the first time, every tree that grows and then withers, every grain of sand, every planet, every sun, and every person were all created by the power of the Word, by the power of God, by the power of Jesus. Because in the beginning was the Word, and all things were made through the Word. It blows my mind. Absolutely everything that we can comprehend and more, even our ability to comprehend, our ability to think, our ability to feel, our ability to see beauty and understand it, all of that creativity, it all comes from the power of Jesus. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've been awestruck by less. How amazing is it to consider our God created all things, all thought, all feelings? Before we start to think about prayer, we need to look at and consider the power and the creativity and the sheer glory of this Jesus that we're looking at in this vision series. We can't help but be awestruck by him. But it doesn't stop there. As if that wasn't enough to take our breath away and for us to worship God with the rest of our lives and all of our heart, as if that wasn't enough, we read on in John 1 to verse 14, and it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we need to get this right in our minds. If we picture the size of Sydney, and it would take absolutely hours and hours for us to walk across Sydney, then we think about that in regards to Australia, and we think it's going to take months for us to trek across Australia. Then we go the size of the world, and we think there's absolutely no way we could get around that just on our own. We need to get in planes and things like that. Then you think of our Earth as this tiny dot compared to how giant the sun is, and then the sun, a tiny dot in our galaxy, and then the galaxy, one of many. Suddenly there's this vast expanse that we can never comprehend how big it is. All of that sits in God's hand. Yet on that tiny dot that we call earth, God decided, I will become man. I will walk among them. Those people that fit in the palm of my hand, I'll be one of them. Those people that I created, I will be one of them. It leaves you awestruck, doesn't it? The Creator God walking among us, humbling himself to become a man. What's even more awe-inspiring is what he came to do. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. This all-powerful God, the creator of all of the heavens, the creator of earth, the creator of us, came to earth to serve us, to rescue us, to be a ransom for us. See, we rejected the Creator God. We pushed away from the one who made us. And God could have just said, look, it is finished. I am done with all of you guys. Wipe the creation out and just started another one. Instead, he became a man. He walked among us. And he cried, it is finished, as he was being crucified in our place, as he was paying the price for our sin, so that we could be rescued, so that we could go from being separate from God to being in a relationship with God. The Creator of the universe became a man and died in our place so that he could rescue us. There is nothing that could inspire awe like that. The greatest being suffering under its creation. The God who stretched out his hand and flung all the stars into the sky, stretched out his hand so they could be nailed to the cross. Why? So all of our sins could be nailed there with it. As a part of this vision series, we're talking about being so awestruck by Jesus. Surely nothing can create more awe than the Creator of the universe dying in our place. There is nothing more jaw-dropping. There hasn't been anything more jaw-dropping in all of history, and there never will be. But it doesn't stop there. See, that's not the end of the story. That's not what finishes it all off. As we think about our powerful Creator and the incredible loving sacrifice, we need to go one step further and think about the glory of Jesus as he is now. And that was what was read out in that passage. Revelation 1 verses 12 to 16 say, I turned around, and this is John, to see a voice that was speaking to me. Jesus reveals himself to John here. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, which represent the church. And amongst the lampstands was one like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest, the hair on his head white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held the seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. This is the Jesus that we worship now. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is the glorious God that we pray to. This is the glorious God that we depend on. This is what Jesus looks like. When we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come, we pray to this Jesus. This is the Jesus that sits on the throne in heaven, who will judge all. You might be thinking, this is meant to be a sermon on prayer. Why are we spending all this time talking about what Jesus looks like? If we want our prayer life to be anything like what God intends it to be, we need to be completely awestruck by Jesus. We need to have completely jaw-dropped, amazed, in awe of who Jesus is. Jesus, the powerful Creator. Jesus, the loving sacrifice. Jesus, the glorious living one. Only when we start to try and wrap our mind around that will we know how to react in prayer. And that's exactly what happened to John. If you read on, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. I was so awestruck that I fell at his feet. We see a church that is so awestruck that we fall at Jesus' feet and prayerfully seek his mind on everything. We need to start to comprehend the powerful Creator, the loving sacrifice, and the glorious risen one that is Jesus. This vision, if you open it up and start to have a look, it'd be easy to read it and go, okay, this vision is telling me to care about people. It's telling me to pray more. It's telling me to risk more, to be more compassionate, to be more kind, to make the best decisions, so on and so forth. But if that's what you're reading into this vision, then you're reading it wrong. The whole idea of this vision is that we encounter Jesus and respond accordingly. We see a church that is passionate about Jesus Christ and therefore people. so awestruck by him that we prayerfully seek his mind on everything, so captivated by Jesus that we risk everything for him to honor and obey him, so enamored by him that we emulate him. You start to get the idea. It's all about coming to Jesus and seeing who Jesus is, looking at Jesus' glory and Jesus' power and Jesus' love and going, man, my life needs to change in response to this. I need to fall at his feet. And tonight, how we're going to look at falling at his feet is with the idea of prayer. So for us as 5 p.m. church, what would it look like to be a church that is so awestruck by Jesus that we prayerfully seek his mind on everything? Well, there's two parts to this, isn't there? The first one, imagine if we could say that we are a church that is so awestruck by Jesus that we individually seek his mind on everything. What would that look like? Well, imagine if from this day on you made the commitment today that you are never going to leave your house in the morning without first falling to your knees and saying, Jesus, what do you want from this day? Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say and who do you want me to say it to? Lord, tell me what you want for my day. Imagine if we as a congregation, every time we thought about our career ahead or what subjects we're going to do at school or what subjects we're going to do at uni, we said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Tell me your mind. Give me your spirit to guide me. Father, give me direction. If we're so awestruck by Jesus that every single decision we made was based on who he is and what he has done. Imagine if we as individuals were so awestruck by Jesus that when it came to big decisions in our life, like where are we going to live? We come and we fall on our knees in awe of Jesus and we say, God, where can I serve you most? Where do you want me? Tell me your mind on everything. Imagine if we as individuals were so awestruck by him that every single decision we make, we seek his mind on. Imagine if when we're at work or we're at school, we say, God, who do you want me to speak to? Show me your mind for what you want today. Imagine if we continuously sought intimacy with Jesus because we are in awe of who he is. But it doesn't stop there. I want us to imagine what it would be like if we were a church that together was so awestruck by Jesus that prayer was at the heart of absolutely everything that we did. Imagine if 5 p.m. as a congregation was so awestruck by Jesus that we would never turn up to church without having prayed first and saying, God, what do you want me to do at this service? God, what do you want to use me for at this service? Who can I serve? Who can I love? How can you use me? Imagine if every believer at this service prayed that every single day. And then on top of that, missing out on the first song at church wouldn't be an issue anymore because every single believer would be here at the prayer meeting we have 15 minutes before the service praying with us. You're all welcome to come to that. And even more than that, I want people to come to me and to John and say, look, 15 minutes isn't enough. We want to use that 15 minutes to be welcoming people. I want to be here at 4, praying for hours and hours in the lead up to church that God would move people, that God would make a difference, that God would change someone's life. I want to be so awestruck by God that I fall on my knees in front of him and pray before every single service. Imagine if every believer came to church at 4 every week and started praying for this service. How much more would God ready our hearts to be changed by his word? How much more would God ready our hearts to be used for his work? There's so many prayer ministries that currently exist at our church. And there's the Thursday night young adults prayer ministry. Imagine if 5 p.m. flooded that and we couldn't do it in the house anymore. We had to meet in here because there's too many people wanting to pray. There's so many prayer ministries that we can be a part of. Imagine if youth and young adults were the biggest crowd at the 6 a.m. prayer meetings that are on every single day. Imagine if we could blow away the 8 a.m.ers by how many young people are there saying, I am awestruck by Jesus and I just want to pray and I just want to pray and pray and seek his mind on everything. John has a group of people who meet about every 6 weeks and pray for the future of this church. If you want to be a part of that, go and speak to John. On Sunday morning at 7:45, we're praying for 8 a.m. At 9:45, we're praying for 10 a.m. At 4:45, we're praying for 5 p.m. Come and pray with us. I read about churches that have a basement underneath where the services are held. And people will go to one service in the morning or in the night and then come to the other and sit in the basement underneath the service and constantly just pray for that service that's happening above them. Imagine if people at 5 p.m. said, I am so awestruck by Jesus that I want to sit in those rooms over there and pray during all of 7 o'clock service and just sit there and pray that God's changing lives in here. You read about churches where people fast for 40 days living just on water. They're fasting and praying, begging God to move, begging God to save lives. Imagine if we prayed and fasted with that sort of heart, we were that awestruck that we wanted to give that much time. There's churches that pray over every single street in their country. Imagine if D teams and small groups came up to us and said, we want to commit to praying for every single street in the hills. We want to go there and we want to stand on that street and we want to pray for that. Come to us and say, we want to pray. We want to start up another prayer group at another time on another day. We're going to say yes. Let's become a church that prays. Imagine if prayer was at the heart of absolutely every decision we made, every step we took. And when I think about this, I know that my prayer life doesn't match up to what I'm saying. As I read about Jesus and who Jesus is, I know that I should be so much more in awe of him, that I should be falling to my knees more, that I should be praying more. So what I want to do now is what I needed to do when I read this to myself and when God spoke to me. I want to spend some time just praying with God. There's so many things in our lives that we're not giving up to God in prayer. There's so many times where we've neglected to look at the glory of Jesus and fall on our knees before him. I want to spend some time now and let you guys spend some time just praying, reflecting on how powerful our Creator is, how loving Jesus' sacrifice was, and how glorious he is. Let's take the time to repent from the times we've neglected prayer and to genuinely stop and ask God, God, what's your mind on prayer in my life? What do you want to see happen through me in regards to prayer? What's my ministry of prayer at this church? And come and tell us after what God's calling you to in regards to prayer. We'd love to hear your stories. And we're going to just spend some time before the band sings praying to God. So would you join me in that?